Hello and welcome to another not episode of the Picture Show with Austin and Phil Rude. Or is this a very special episode? I don't know.
I don't know, but we're definitely gaining the amount of weird, not to format episodes on our feed.
Yeah, it's a weird month. We may actually have another one coming up here. We've got some events
in May. Right.
So it's kind of playing hell with our schedule, but we're sorting it out. We want to get something out to you. So this week we are going to review a movie that a lot of people watched. A lot of you probably watched it. It's just going to be a loose conversation about
Boss Baby.
Yeah. No. Finally. Yes.
You've all been waiting for it. We are holding off on Cargo, which is going to be next week
now. Next week, yep.
And we are going to just do a quick little review of our takes on Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah. We did Skull Island right before it.
Right. That was a more in-depth full...
That was a regular episode,
This is going to be like a 10-20 minute rambling session.
Right.
But
right.
That just means more condensed entertainment for you guys.
Let's give the IMDb synopsis here, and a quick rundown of some of the notable cast members, and then it's just gonna I'm gonna throw the ball to you and let you pilot this episode. I'm gonna go get something to eat. When I come back, we'll do the outro.
Here's the synopsis right here: two giants fight. That's it.
And a bunch of really dumb humans do some unnecessarily complicated stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. That actually is, that's about it.
We can go home now?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. The epic next chapter in the cinematic monsterverse pits two of the greatest icons in motion picture history against one another, the fearsome Godzilla and the mighty Kong, with humanity caught in the balance. We've got Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown, Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry. Lance Reddick is in this movie. Kyle Chandler. So returning people from the old Godzilla franchise from the last Godzilla movie. It's a huge cast. Those are probably the big standout names. Even though a lot of them didn't have a lot to do, like Lance Reddick from The Wire is in this.
I don't even know who.
He's like a military guy in this. He's like a really tall black guy with a really deep voice, like a really commanding voice. And he's in like one scene and then it just moves on. Same with like the guy who, Kyle Chandler, who plays Millie Bobby Brown's dad.
Right.
I think they're working in the same place, if I remember right. Like, it's just in there to go, hey, remember this guy from the last movie?
I think it's funny because all I can think of when I see him is just that he's the dad from Super 8. So I'm just like...
He is the dad from Super 8.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, no, that's not your kid. Your kid, you have a son.
You have the other kid who's fighting monsters and running outsmarting around adults in the military.
That's right.
And he's in Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Right.
And he was in the Friday Night Lights TV show.
He gets around.
Which I never saw. I heard is really good.
I don't know.
But I know that he is in it. He's,
Sounds like a Saturday Night Live knockoff.
No, it's a high school football movie.
Okay.
Or a TV show based on a movie that is based on a book. I saw the movie.
Totally not confusing.
It's not. It's all right. But yeah, that's the quick synopsis in all of that. If you saw the movie, you know.
It's the Avengers Endgame of...
Kind of, yeah.
This culmination of monsters.
Actually, no. That would have been better if this was the culmination of all of the movies, if Mothra was here, if Ghidorah was here, if all of these other monsters. You wanted from, like,
all of them.
From, well, that would be the Avengers Endgame of it, right?
True.
To bring everybody in and really have like a battle royale. But none of the other monsters are in this. It's just Godzilla and Kong. And they just sort of imply that, like, oh yeah, Godzilla killed all the rest of them. Like, oh. Oh, okay.
Was that implied?
It was sort of implied that, like, yeah, he's sort of destroyed all the other Titans, and Kong is, like, the last of them. That's why they're protecting Kong from the outside
world. Oh, like that thing at the beginning where they were showing, the score
stupid
sheets?
Dome. Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. But they're keeping tallies. They're like, okay, so Kong's killed, like, these three monsters, and then it has a bajillion for Godzilla.
It's like the control room in what's the movie, Cabin in the Woods,
right,
where, you know, like, they're controlling how the teenagers will be killed. But real quick, your thoughts, your initial thoughts,
right,
what did you think of the movie before we get too far in the weeds here?
I thought that this is not a Godzilla movie, it's a King Kong movie.
I agree.
That was my main takeaway, is that this should have been the King Kong sequel, where he becomes King Kong.
King
Not Kong. Just Kong Skull Island. King Kong, right? And then we get the team-up movie, right?
Right.
Like I feel like his plot was so much more interesting that it deserved its own thing.
I don't think it was more interesting. I think it was just one-sided. Like, we never saw Godzilla unless he was fighting Kong. They could have also followed Godzilla around. You know what I mean?
Well, at this point, Godzilla's already established. Like, they're not still doing his whole lore thing.
I think Kong is still established already, too.
Yeah, but that's what they're still messing around with his lore and, like, explaining and world building and, like,
I suppose. Yeah.
All of that seemed to fall on him, and then they just have Godzilla. You already know Godzilla from the other two movies.
Right, but if you're going to have the team up at the end, like, I feel like you should feel sympathetic to both of them.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's what I mean, yeah.
Like, which is weird because it's such a one-sided movie that it is all Kong. And the thing that makes it almost equal Godzilla is that they bring something from the Godzilla universe, which is Mechagodzilla. They bring Mechagodzilla into this.
Right. Double the Godzilla.
And so you have like, oh, here's more Japanese monster stuff versus this American monster stuff. And by the end of it, yes, it all works for what it is supposed to be, I think.
Yeah, I think this is just like a fun movie.
Did you enjoy this movie?
Yeah, I thought it was, I don't know, I remember being, like, really excited. It's been a week since I've seen it, so it's not.
Yeah, I just saw fresh. It, like, right near the end, like, the last weekend it was on.
Yeah, right
HBO.
Before they pulled it.
Yeah.
But, like, I was, like, stoked. I was like, I want more of this King Kong.
I think you're gonna get it.
I don't think we are. I think this might be the end, because I was looking into, like, the film rights, and the owners of Godzilla, they want to do their own movie franchise.
Yeah.
So they said that when they announced this whole mini franchise, that this was kind of it.
But we'll get more Kong.
Maybe.
I think so. I
don't know if he can survive on his own without...
Like, Kong Skull Island, like, 2 years ago.
I know, but I don't think
we just reviewed it, Austin.
You can't create a monster verse centered around one monster, even if you have more monsters, and then take that monster away.
I think it can kill the monster verse, but look what Marvel is doing. Marvel is, after bringing everybody together in Endgame, because you brought up Endgame, now I'm thinking of that, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Like, these Spider-Man standalone movies are going on. WandaVision is like... I mean, if you had told me, like, oh, yeah, the most popular thing Marvel does is going to be Wanda and Vision in their own sitcom series, like, I don't care about that, and I don't think anybody else does either. Well, I'm only half right, because I'm the only one who doesn't care about that. Apparently, everybody loved that.
Ended up being the most expensive show ever made somehow.
But is also, like, one of the most popular things on Disney Plus, probably.
Right.
Like, and I think the way this thing has performed on HBO means, I think they're guaranteed going to make at least one more sequel. And it's probably going to be, like, a standalone Kong movie.
I would hope so.
I don't worry at all about, like, the loss of Godzilla rights by the American studio. Like, Japan is going to continue making Godzilla movies till the end of time. You know what right. I mean? Like, they're always going to be...
I'm not worried I'm never going to see Godzilla again. I'm just a little sad. Like, I'm really into this universe right now, and I'm like, it's going to be a bit sad if they...
That's really
take him away. If the studio's divorce, you know, I don't want Godzilla to have two birthdays. It's really unfair.
Kong gets to spend Christmas at our place, but he spends his birthday over here. Yeah. I'm really surprised to hear you say, like, how into this universe you are, because I feel like you were a little lukewarm on Kong Skull Island. Like, I know you liked it, but I feel like you were kind of like, yeah, this is fine. And then I was surprised that you even watched Kong versus Godzilla.
That's...
because I didn't think you had any interest in it, really.
No, I was interested. Kong Skull Island, like, now I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it. But, like, upon first viewing, I was like, yeah, this is cool. I didn't get enough out of it. I didn't get what I wanted, so...
What did you want?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Cool stuff. Him in the city, maybe? I don't know. But I was looking for something more. And then, like, so I would rank Peter Jackson's movie above that. Just in terms of, like, I feel like Kong himself was more fleshed out in that movie. And
oh,
then,
sure, yeah.
And then we get this movie, and, like, him and the little girl and the...
And yeah, that was kind of cool.
Trainer, more specifically, I love that the trainer, like the adult, thinks, oh, I'm in control of this situation, and she's constantly trying to police the kid, when really it's the kid who actually knows Kong.
Who and, actually like, is tapped into it, yeah.
Right, and then it turns into, like, this really sweet, like, Kong having a relationship with this sweet little girl, where they connect, and they're from the same homeland, and... she's able to calm him down. It's so much sweeter than, like, an ape getting horny over some movie.
Yeah, I mean...
I know that's oversimplified, but I liked that there was more connection.
It's for me, it's less of a, this is more interesting and more of just sort of like, it's something different. It is still Kong having a relationship or a connection with a woman, and you know, the various Kongs have portrayed various levels of consent in that connection with the woman. It's him having a connection with a person. It's just a different take on it. It's like a psychic connection to one of the native children. And right. I think that is like, okay, so they still connected him, and that allows Kong to be fleshed out more as a character when he's connected to a person in one way or another, and they just sort of found a slightly different angle to come at it with, and I did like that.
Like that scene with the boat, when they're on the boat, which, like, the moment they're on a boat King Kong, yeah. I'm like, okay, so this is going down, but... But he's having, like, a full-on panic attack, and then she just comes in and calms him down.
Right.
And I don't know. There's something cool about it.
Speaking of the boat scenes I thought were great. Like, the initial fight on the boat, like, the initial appearance of Godzilla. That's the first appearance. That's the first time we see him, right?
Yeah, when Kong gets his ass kicked.
Pretty much, yeah. But, like, that whole fight scene... whatever drawbacks I have for this movie, like, those big action set pieces, those big fist fights of giant monsters, that's it. That's what this movie is all about. And that's when this movie is doing what it does best. And that's what made this movie worth watching for me. I know I've said before, like, Godzilla movies always have human stories in them. And people who complain about that don't understand, like, that. That's what a Godzilla movie is. But the human stories in this one were so out there. They were so, like, they're in futuristic spaceships using impossible tech. Where if you look at, like, the 2014 Godzilla or all of the Japanese Godzilla movies, they're people, they're regular people in regular lives with regular military stuff.
Like, it grounds it, right?
It does. It makes you understand these are regular people who are facing some extraordinary thing. But as soon as you put these flying magic spaceships in this one that all have a trillion missiles on them that could never fit, you know what I mean? Like, they take the humans into too far of a fantastic realm. The human should be human, and the monster should be in the fantastic realm, and not both.
Right.
You know how, like, Kong Skull Island is the U.S. Air Cavalry versus this monster, and they didn't have, like, lasers or anything crazy. They just had Vietnam-era military equipment.
Right. And it's a giant ape fighting humans.
That's what makes that work, I think. And and this one, I think they take the humans too far into sci-fi territory.
See, I get that, but I also get where the movie's coming from.
I know where
they're trying to amp things up. I also think, like, the conspiracy theory stuff, like, that's, like, just some fun, light comedy.
You're talking about, like, the Millie Bobby Brown stuff? Yeah,
podcaster.
I get what that was. It just didn't do anything for me.
I liked it. And I liked that Godzilla was misunderstood by the public. And that this was them sort of being like, I know Godzilla, and he wouldn't just be attacking unprovoked. Like...
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
kind of advocating for him.
I would have liked to see more of the Godzilla side of this, so that when, you know, that you understand Godzilla is a misunderstood protector, like we did in the other movies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that way, when they come together, because this follows, like, old Marvel comic book team ups, where the Thing and the Hulk run into each other and fight. And then we see them both, like, reacting to that separately. And then they both figure out, like, oh, somebody else is pitting us against each
other. There's a bigger bad.
And then they team up. But we see both sides of them. You know what I mean? Instead of only seeing things from, like, the Hulk's perspective. And the Thing is the bad guy painted through the whole thing. Like, this one, I just feel like we could have stood to see a little more of Godzilla. We could have had Millie Bobby Brown maybe following the Godzilla part and bringing that more to the forefront of, like, he's not a bad guy. This is manipulation by this guy with a monster skull, basically.
I think they could have done that. I think maybe they didn't, like, out of mystery, like, because if we see Godzilla's side of the story, we kind of know about Mechagodzilla, but there's ways to work around that.
I think having mystery in it, like, there was already, like, the plot was already more complicated than it needed to be with the bad guys.
You've got Hollow Earth in the mix. I think we're all good on conspiracies.
Hollow Earth. What do you think of that?
Absolutely ridiculous.
But I feel like the movie also knows it's ridiculous.
Right.
Like, and they, it's, I think the movie has a lot of fun with it, with the gravity. Like, when they're in the middle and, like, gravity is sort of pulling different ways.
Yeah.
And the camera's spinning around and Kong is like gorilla-ing his way through.
It's a fun sci-fi concept.
It's really, yes, I think that puts it in a really great way. Like, it's a great concept that they're playing with, and I think they play with it in a really interesting way.
Yeah, and it kind of, in terms of lore building, it kind of explains the giants and Kong and Skull Island and like all of this stuff. Like, it explains the mysticism of this world.
Right. Yeah, I think so. It sort of gives an origin. Not that we needed one, but
no,
sort of like just piling on to the lore of this movie.
I see, that's, I keep going back to this. Like, they just needed to break this movie up. They put too much in here. And I would have loved to see Kong into the Hollow Earth, or whatever they want to call it. Like,
just a solo Kong going in there and fighting the monsters that are in there.
Yeah, well, it doesn't need to be like a solo movie, but it doesn't need to be solo him.
Right.
But like, yeah, him and maybe some humans. Like, you could literally just take what he did in this movie and plop it there and I'd be fine. Minus the fighting Godzilla.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's more room to work there.
Sure. And I mean, I think that would be the natural progression for the next movie, right? Because he's in the Hollow Earth now.
Yeah.
And that would just sort of be the next thing. So all these things you wanted in this movie, I think you're going to get in the next movie.
Maybe. I hope so. I don't know. I just feel like better franchise planning is my critique.
Sure. The shared universe stuff always, I think that's the baggage a lot of these franchises are carrying, is everybody is looking at like the Marvel model. And frankly, I think Marvel is an outlier. I don't think...
And I think they're failing with the TV shows,
but that's I think the further they go, the more it's going to fall apart. But just the success they had over those first 10 years and whatever it was, 20 movies through, like Iron Man through Endgame.
Yeah, whatever that was. 28 or so. It's a lot.
It's a lot. But the way they tied that universe together, the editorial control they exercised over that, I really think everybody who is striving for that doesn't... I think Marvel succeeding at that is almost like a fluke. Like, it shouldn't have worked that well. So everybody is striving for that without realizing, like, it's like pitching a no-hitter. Like, it's the odds against, like, really hitting it are so out there.
And you need a lot of resources and a lot of people.
A lot of people, right. You can't just slap it together, and I think a lot of it has to be planned, at least loosely planned from the get-go. Like, I think where Marvel's failing now is, like, I think they didn't plan past Endgame. And now they're sort of like, where do we go? We already had the big universe-ending event. What do we do now? And,
I'm sure they'll figure it out.
I'm sure they'll figure it out, too, but I think the thing with, like, this shared universe, I don't know that it was ever really intended from the beginning to be a big cinematic universe. They made a Godzilla movie, and it was successful. And then they're like, oh, okay, we'll make another one. And what if we bring King Kong back? And, you know, like, it sort of...
What if we make him fight people?
It feels like it sort of grew into the idea of... It was a successful movie that they said, well, what if we make a shared universe out of it? And they hadn't really planned for it. And now they're kind of trying. I don't know for sure that's what it is. But that's what a lot of these things feel like.
Yeah, like that... who was it that was doing that, like... They were going to do, like, Jekyll and Hyde and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Monster. They had this whole thing planned out. And then the first movie was The Mummy... and it flopped.
And it failed horribly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was the Universal Monsters, which is like the classic monster movies.
Right. They were going to dive into all of this public domain stuff, right?
I think part of it was that it was in public domain, and part of it was that is like the first cinematic universe. Was Universal made all these monster movies back in the day. And then I don't remember where they started crossing over. It might have been that Abbott and Costello movie where they were all in it. And so then it was like, oh, it's a shared universe. So I think there was like an idea of just like nostalgia and like reboots culture and everything else. There was this idea of like, oh, we could revive the Universal monsters. And that's what they, but you know, the idea of we're going to take this and make it really dark and gritty. It's like the old Universal monsters, they were horror movies of the day. But also there was like an element of fun to it. Like the Mummy didn't look fun at all.
Like, no, it looked like a bad time.
It really did. And I think everybody, that was what everybody came away with, was like, this is not good, you know? Yeah. But yeah, there's like, nobody wants to make a movie anymore. Everybody wants to make, and I say everybody as in like studios. Yes. Studios don't want to make movies. They want to make franchises. They want to make cinematic universes. And I think that's a mistake, because they're not concentrating on making a good movie. They're concentrating on making a passable movie that serves a bigger story.
Yeah, and then it ends up feeling like disconnected, or like there's like good story bits.
Right.
But I just wish they'd been connected differently.
That's the last Godzilla movie, the King of Monsters.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a movie.
The one where we just follow King or Godzilla as he like around the globe.
Pretty much.
That's all
yeah.
the movie is yeah. just following him one after another. Like
That's a movie that was designed to get him to this movie, to Godzilla versus Kong. You know what I mean? And I think Kong Skull Island was also designed with this as the end goal as well. But Kong Skull Island was also an origin story. And that's what helped that work more on its own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, that last Godzilla movie, I think, is not very good. Because it just was like a placeholder movie. It was like a transition movie.
It's the middleman. You
know? Yeah, it was. And that's probably out of this whole Monsterverse, that's the weak link in this one.
I think it's sad because, like, you can have a middleman. That is fine if you're trying to put a franchise together. But, like, you also have to put care into it.
It can still be really good. Right.
And I feel like sometimes, like, you just wind up with, okay, we need to put out this movie, and no one in production, or not enough people in production, actually care about it.
Well, I mean, let's look at Marvel as an example of that. Like, the Winter Soldier is essentially a middleman movie. It's not his origin story. It's not him fighting corruption in S.H.I.E.L.D. It's just him on his way to figuring out some people in the government are not to be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Winter Soldier is one of the best movies in the whole MCU. You know what I mean? Like, they took this thing that was just meant to sort of get Cap from his origin to his endpoint. It's just a step along the way. And they really crafted a really great action movie out of that. You know what I mean?
They knew what it was in terms of franchise, but they also knew what the movie was.
Exactly. They gave the movie a distinct identity and a story to tell within that movie that was also interesting.
Mm-hmm. These are chapters.
Yes.
Okay? You don't just, like, skip over the middle chapters of a book to get to the last two.
Yeah.
Because that's where everything's going to happen or whatever.
It has to...
got to put effort into each part of the story you're telling.
And I think that's where this one sort of, not this movie, this franchise stumbled along.
That's
with not putting a lot of care into that. Probably just that one chapter. We're talking about only four movies here.
Right. We're talking about that instead of this movie.
Instead of this movie.
because it's this movie is good, but the previous problems of the franchise building are showing themselves in this movie.
That's a really good point.
It's like you're seeing the stress cracks.
I feel like the overcomplicated like corporate plot in this one is a result of like the weird like powerful overlords in Godzilla King of Monsters. It's like a holdover from that. You know what I mean? Like there's a weird like corporate subplot to that as well.
Yeah, I think that's been there since the get-go though. I think that's I kinda like that element of like the cheesy espionage, like
yeah.
There's this I
feel like it dragged everything down in this movie. Like, it's the most uninteresting part of this movie.
It is in this movie. I like it better in... Like, I like the aspects of it better in God of Monsters.
King of Monsters?
King of Monsters, okay. Yeah. I don't know. There's something about that.
Okay. I'm just telling you as in the big picture because I barely remember King of Monsters. That's how uninteresting that movie really was to me.
We saw it one time in theaters.
That's the only time I've seen it, right. I didn't go and revisit it, or it's the only one of these I only saw the one time. Except
that's kind of cool.
Godzilla vs. Kong.
Right, yeah. But that's newer, so.
Right. How would you rank these? Is Godzilla vs. Kong your favorite of the four?
I would say it's my favorite, and then the first Godzilla, and then Kong, and then the second Godzilla.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would put it number three. I say first Godzilla, Kong Skull Island, then this, and then King of Monsters.
Okay.
And I do like this movie.
I think that's justified.
I think this movie is... I think... Ultimately, this movie is a lot of fun. It's just sort of like, but it's like big, dumb fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like the big set pieces in this movie are really what bring it home for me. Like, it is like what Pacific Rim was. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good example.
Pacific
yeah.
Rim at its best is just giant things punching each other. And that is awesome because that's what the movie promised and that's what the movie delivered. I had no expectations past that.
And then you bring in the world building of Pacific Rim in the sequel.
Oh my God.
And it's the problems this has.
David and I watched that on BrokeBot.
See, I had the sense not to watch it.
I think we just picked it as like, let's give this a shot. We needed something to watch for that week. It's when we were still like we were really stretching to find sci-fi movies. And I think it made us both angry that it was just such a lazy, dumb movie with like almost nothing redeeming to it at all. Like it failed to commit. It failed to take any chances. It failed to be interesting in any way. It is just, it is just a big, it's not even like a bad movie. It's just a nothing movie.
And that's sad from.
It really is. That I think we talked about like, dude, Pacific Rim is so much fun. And this movie is so much like nothing.
Did Guillermo del Toro work on that too? Or
no,
did he leave after the first one?
He didn't write or direct it. If anything, he's maybe listed as a producer, which means he
cashed a check
and probably didn't work on it at all. But
I don't think he wants his
since
name
it came
on
from like his characters, he may have, you know,
yeah,
just had a producer credit. I don't, but yeah, like the idea of making non-Godzilla kaiju movies, you know, can be done. You know, Guillermo del Toro did it with the first Pacific Rim, you know, like. Like, we could see...
Things don't have to be connected, guys.
I mean, for sure.
Let's keep, like, remembering that.
But you can see, like, big, dumb, giant action movies in this universe, in other universes. It can all be done, and it's a lot of fun when it's done correctly. And I think Godzilla vs. Kong does that part really well. The uninteresting parts aside, I had a lot of fun with this movie.
Yeah. I really don't think there was a single moment in this movie where I was bored. I was just like, let's keep it going, let's keep going.
Well, there's always something to look at, for sure, you know, and something going on, and they do keep the plot moving. Like, it, as much as, like, some of the corporate stuff sort of slows... It slows down is probably not fair. It overly complicates a simple movie.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're trying to watch a movie and someone's standing in the way and you're like looking
trying
around.
To look around. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, can you just move, please?
But yeah, that's a good analogy for it, because it is sort of like we're trying to get somewhere with this, and that's it. But the plot, I think, is always moving. You know, it's,
yeah.
And I think some of that, the benefit of that is that things that are like logic problems, things that don't make sense, things that don't line up with any of the rest of the franchise, you don't even have time to think about it. You're just on to the next thing and you're fine with it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you come to this movie and you're expecting to get, you know, oh, I'm gonna pick out all the plot holes. If you're cinema sins and you're gonna just suck all the fun out of this, then just move along. This movie isn't for you, you know?
Actually, if the Earth was hollow, it would collapse in on itself due to the gravity of it.
Here's everything wrong with this movie that's not supposed to be scrutinized. Yeah. But that's what I got on this, man.
I don't know.
You got anything else? You got any other thoughts or notes or anything?
I don't think so. Kong, show yourself more. Please.
Please. Please, take us to the Hollow Earth. I'm looking forward to seeing if they do something. If they don't do another Kong movie in this universe, give it 5-6 years. They'll reboot it again in another way.
That's true.
You know, it's Kong. He always comes back around.
You know, here's my predictions for future of the franchise. Let's go. So... Kong 3 is going to be, let's see, it's going to be in the Hollow Earth, but something is, there's a meteor that's going to hit the Earth and flatten it into the flat Earth. So Kong has to, like, hold up the Earth.
Hmm.
And that's the big epic throwdown battle.
He has to
battle.
Build, like, some trusses and some braces underneath.
Yeah, that's
it.
Right. We get Constructor Kong.
Oh, interesting.
And then,
Wait a minute, wait!
Oh, boy.
Are you talking about, like, steel girders? Like, he's building, like, a structure that he would maybe stand on the top of? And, I don't know, throw barrels at people who are trying to climb up it? Are we turning this into... Donkey Kong?
King Donkey Kong?
King Donkey Kong? Could this be finally a good video game movie? Oh my god, this is what I've been waiting for.
I think that's the fourth movie, is Kong versus Kong.
I would watch
King of the Kongs.
I would 100% watch that movie.
once Godzilla leaves, they have to bring in other things.
And
so,
then
Donkey Kong and
Godzilla versus Yoshi would be the
One. Yoshi, he needs his own movie before.
I mean, Nintendo's a Japanese company, so it could bring Godzilla and Kong.
You're making a lot of sense here.
Godzilla and Yoshi versus Donkey and King Kong.
Okay.
Oh man. Is that
Yoshi awesome? Would so beat Godzilla, let's be real. That little tongue thing he does turns him into an egg.
Great. And they all just start racing go-karts.
That's right.
Yeah. That's where they decided. I think my prediction for the future is, I don't know what's coming next. I don't know what's coming in the next few years. 2033, there will be a King Kong movie.
Is that significant?
That will be the 100-year anniversary of the original King Kong. Whether they do just a straight-up remake of that movie, or some sort of legacy movie, or Son of Kong, or Grandson of Kong. Oh my god, yes!
I could picture...
King Kong sitting on the porch, turning his hose on younger gorillas, and Grandson of Kong's like, Grandpa, leave him alone!
That could work.
That could work. There's a reason I don't make movies, that nobody wants to hear my
opinion. I'm sure they'll make a boring shot-for-shot remake.
Oh my god, not shot-for-shot, please.
I hope not.
Yeah, it's all stop motion.
I can picture it now, some very artfully done, but painfully boring...
I hope not. They put all the subtle racism back in.
We actually thought it wasn't enough, so we brought in a few experts.
Can we really savage these native people up a little bit and just to really turn up the volume on this?
My gosh.
But I think for sure there will be some event. They may even just re-release.
That's 2031?
33.
Yeah. Okay. It's the movie with 33 King Kongs all teaming up.
Oh my god. Godzilla 33.
Just imagine.
Or King Kong 33.
Imagine a whole swarm of them in New York. That would be cool.
I mean, he's one of many. He's the last of many.
That's right.
There could be more. Yeah. That would be cool. That's all I got.
Yep. Our short episode ran a little long.
That's how we do it. Thanks for hanging out with us on this not an episode and for bearing with us while our schedule is a little bit wonky. We're coming back with Cargo next week.
That's right.
I promise this time.
He just keeps putting off my movies. It's not fair.
Oh, man. Hey, we put off my movie last time.
I know.
But... yeah, that's all I got today. Austin, you got social media that you want to run down?
You can find me.
Yeah.
Austin.n.rude somewhere.
Yeah, that's cool.
Whatever.
Philrude.something. Philrude.com. Yeah.
You know us. Okay.
You know where to get us. If not, listen to another episode. Boost our numbers. Austin, you want to read the credits?
Yep. We didn't do everything ourselves because we didn't even do anything on this not episode.
We didn't do anything.
All right.
All right. We'll see you next time on the Picture Show.
See ya.